Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. It's my pleasure to be with you. We got Dr. Hamilton Beasley with us. He's the author of No Regrets. And one of the things he wants to talk to us about today is sources of power in business. And he says there are two types of power that we need to be aware of. And we're going to get him in here to tell us about that. Dr. Beasley, welcome back to the show. I guess I think we're trying to get him back on. We lost him for a minute there. One of the things I mentioned earlier. Hamilton, are you there?
I'm here.
There you go. Hi, Hamilton. It's good to have you back on the show. Hamilton, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today are sources of power in business. And you talk about one of the things you talk about is that there are two different sources. I want you to tell us about those.
Yes, there are two different sources of power in organizations and in the world of business. It may be important, Jim, to set a context to understand clearly why power is important. Power is simply an agent's capacity to influence a target person. So it's my ability to influence you, the ability of a group of me and my friends to influence a group of other people, the capacity of my business to influence another business through people.
Mm-hmm.
And power is important for this reason, that each person or each organization has different desires, needs, and goals, and they come into conflict. So power is really about how do we compete for scarce resources and allocate them. That's what power is about. And we learn about power when we're very young, when we're little kids. If you're an only child and suddenly you have a sibling, you're learning about power because you want to your parents to allocate the scarce resource of their attention to you and not to the new baby. So power is everywhere in our lives. It's in the structure of our government, the three branches of government. Politics is woven into the judicial system. You know, we have prosecuting and defending attorneys, into our capitalist system in which we vote with dollars, and even into our democracy in which we vote with votes. So conflict, politics, power is everywhere, and we need to really be aware of it because a lot of people say, I don't want to play politics in my business. Well, politics is inevitable. There's nothing good or bad about politics. It just is.
As long as there are human beings, there'll be politics, won't there?
There'll always be politics, and it's naive to say we don't have politics or I don't play politics.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was something you said just now, a minute or so ago. You talked about resources, how we compete for these resources.
Right.
And let's talk about what some of those resources might be. Obviously, we know that money is a resource and that assets are a resource, but there are other kinds of resources, aren't there?
Well, there are all kinds of resources that we compete for. If we're in business, we're competing for their dollars. We're competing for their decision to buy our product.
For their time?
We're competing for their time. In advertising, we're competing for their attention, if that's our particular business.
Also, loyalty.
We compete for loyalty, for repeat business. We compete for good employees. We compete for all kinds of things. And a lot of this competition, of course, involves the use of power.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important to be aware of politics and power and scarce resources always being allocated. I mean, in a sense, all of the things we have to do today compete with one another for our attention.
Right. Well, and we have in varying degrees power to influence those resources and influence those decisions, but you say that it comes from two different sources.
It comes from two different sources, really. Position power and personal power. Now, often they intermingle, but it's helpful for us just to think of them in those terms. position power comes from the formal authority we have with our position in the organization. If we're the owner, we have a certain amount of power. If we're an administrative assistant, we have a certain amount of power. If we're a salesperson, we have a certain amount of power. Now, once we have some position power, then we have control over other sources of power. And these become critical. Now, to increase our power, what we try to do is to increase our position power and our personal power, which makes a lot of sense. So the first type of power or source of power is control over resources. So if I get to allocate how much money is spent on any one product or another, then I have a certain control or certain power.
In the Bible, they call that, in the Old Testament, they call that the power of binding and loosing. the people, the Pharisees, the leaders, the people who were sort of the leaders of the people and control. They had the position to throw. They had the power to bind and loosen.
That's right.
So that's kind of what you're talking about.
It is what I'm talking about. And in fact, if you think about it, a lot of the position power that an owner has relates to the control of the resource of salary.
Mm-hmm.
So how much I'm willing to pay you gives you a certain amount of control. And I
also just the ability to be an employee. I mean, you know, ultimately the boss gets to decide who works there.
That's right, because the boss, among other things, controls resources.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is another type of power that comes from a position, and that's the power to reward. And, of course, it's opposite, the power to punish. And this is the source of motivation, and we read a lot about, and rightly so, motivating our employees.
Mm-hmm.
And that revolves one way or another around rewarding or punishing, although it may come in subtle forms.
Right.
One form of reward, for example, can be an enjoyable workplace. And sometimes these various powers supplement each other or even conflict. So you might have a very bad workplace environment, but you pay more money. And so people are willing to work there, or certain people are willing to work there.
Right.
Another
Hamilton,
yeah.
Hang on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want to talk some more about this, about how to understand where your power comes from and how to use it in a productive and a positive way, both kinds, not only the position power, but also the personal power. And I want you to think about different ways that you have power and the kind that you have that's automatic by being the owner, but also the kind that you would like to have. Stay with us. After the hour, thank you very much for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Hamilton Beasley is our guest, Dr. Hamilton Beasley, the author of No Regrets, also the author of Continuity Management. Hamilton, tell us where your books are available, please.
They're available on Amazon.com is one resource. They're also available through local bookstores.
All right, and that's B-E-A-Z-L-E-Y, Hamilton Beasley. When I say Z, it's a real Z. It's not an S that's disguised as a Z. Right, Hamilton?
That's right, Jim.
Let's talk about this the power, the sources of power, and in terms of the personal power. Now, we've talked about the position power where if we're the boss, we've got the money, we have the ability to bind and loose and all that, there's a danger in that. That comes with the territory as the owner, and sometimes it feels good for us to have that power. But there's also a danger in that, and it seems to me that the way to make sure that's not improperly taken advantage of is to understand the right way to use our personal power. Hamilton, what do you think about that?
I think that's absolutely right. There is a right way to use power, and there is a wrong way to use power. And a proper use of power is to help others, to advance just causes, moral issues, do the right thing. The improper use of power would be using power to hurt people or for the wrong ends.
Well, and another thing, you know, one of the things somebody told me a long time ago, one of my mentors told me a long time ago, he was talking about one of his employees. And he said he wants to be a leader, but he can't find anybody to follow him. And so, you know, a lot of us want to be leaders, but can we find anybody to follow us? And that ability to get people to follow us has a lot to do with personal power, doesn't it?
It surely does. The most probably famous personal type of power is charisma, of course, where people just want to be in your presence. They just want to be with you, or they want to be like you. And so that gives you tremendous power over them. But another source that we really can work on to increase, some of us can't increase our charisma that much, but we can certainly increase our expertise. We can increase our knowledge and skills. And you know how people come to you when you know something they need, and that gives you power. It may be a favor. It may be the ability to get them to do something that you want. Another type of power is friendship and loyalty. If you build a network of people who like you, who are loyal to you, for whom you've traded favors, with whom you've bargained and negotiated, then you can increase your personal power. You can also do it with alliances and networks and coalitions of people getting together who are more powerful together than they are individually. Mm-hmm. The important thing is to be aware that we really can increase our power. If you think about it, one reason you're probably listening to this program, to Jim Blasingame today and all the days, is to increase your personal power, your ability to have more scarce resources allocated to you, to increase your personal expertise. You acquire knowledge and skills through listening to Jim, and that increases your power.
That's one of the most important personal power sources, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. It's the reason education is so important. People are transformed by knowledge. And knowing, and even in business, control over information is a source of power. That's the reason we have business intelligence, to try to figure out what our competitors are doing. That's
right.
Information.
And that's an example of where competitiveness really can be an advantage, isn't it, Hamilton? Because if I want to be competitive, if I want to be successful, then it'll motivate me to learn more, to study more, to do some more research, to go the extra mile, to seek excellence a little bit more.
That's right, and to try to be more innovative and creative and listen to our customers who are exercising power over us when we do.
Right, right. What are some ways that one of the things that I'm concerned about, we've got about a minute left, are some ways that we can use our personal power to make sure that our position power doesn't seem overbearing?
Well, I think that's a matter of reminding ourselves every day that we have a primary responsibility to a whole group of stakeholders and not just to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a very real responsibility to our customers that are both moral and also strategic, because we want them to keep coming back. We have responsibility to our employees to create a productive workplace that's healthy for them, to help them reach their potential, not to beat them up or drive them down or continually hurt them. We have
Someone once told me a long time ago, Hamilton, that the best way to manage people is to lead them, not to drive them.
That's right.
That's what you're talking
example.
About, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Leading by example is one of the best ways, which is what
right.
you just said.
Absolutely. Hamilton, thank you for being here today. Thank you for helping us understand the different sources of power in business, the position power and the personal power. Very important message. Thank you for that. The book is called No Regrets. It's available wherever books are sold. Hamilton, thanks for being here. Good job, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure as always.
See you later. Dr. Hamilton Beasley, 29 After. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
This ain't no place for losing all the innocence of life.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.